Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome everybody to the Blog Radio Show. Tonight we have three guests actually. We've got Mike Skill, guitarist from The Romantics, and film director Karen Perlmutter, and composer Steve Chesney. And he actually did the score on the film. So we're going to wait for Mike to give us a call. While we're waiting, let's say thank you to our sponsors. The Hive Bar and Bistro, Garfield, New Jersey, Precious Memory Video, Kittnersville, Pennsylvania, KWB Wines in South Africa. John, you on the phone?
I am here. Can you hear me nice and clear?
Yes. Let me say happy birthday, John.
Thank you.
Yes. I didn't even know you kept it a secret, huh?
Well, when you get to my age, you don't want to remember your birthdays. You kind of don't want them to come along.
Well, you gotta live by my rule. When you turn 50, you start from 10 again.
That's right.
There you go. Oh, I got to ask you about that. Oh, folks, while we're waiting for Mike Skill to give us a call before we interview him. So John and I are just going to chat, banter, I guess. Where did you get that license plate? I love it.
Oh, it's from China, believe it or not.
Yes,
it came along with the virus. I wanted a Ouija board front license plate, and the only place that had it was on Amazon, and I guess they said it would take like 3 to 6 weeks delivery. They didn't tell me it's coming from China, so I just ordered it, and when I got my little package, it's from some weird place in China, so it came all the way from there.
Wuhan? Did it come from Wuhan?
Wuhan province, I think.
Yeah, that's not good.
I think we're okay with it.
I thought it was so cool, though. Oh, my God. I didn't know they even... So that's not an official state license plate. It's just more of a vanity thing, right?
Well, yeah. In Pennsylvania, you don't have to have a front license plate, so you can put anything
on
your car. Yeah.
I didn't know that. And that is so cool for you guys who don't know. John's working on a new movie. John's a movie director, and he's working on a new movie that involves Ouija boards, and I can't wait for it to get started. So what's it called again, John? I'm sorry?
It's called Demon Board Demon Board Blood Trap. Demon Board Blood Trap. It's the second in the Blood Trap series movies. The first one was Bigfoot Blood Trap. This is Demon Board Blood Trap, and I don't know what the next blood trap's going to be.
Yeah. Well, I got to ask you this, since you're in another state, and you're pretty much in the boonies, but have you seen any craziness going on with the coronavirus?
No, nothing out here. Everything's normal. I'll tell you one thing. I went to Costco the other day just to pick up some things. At 10 o'clock in the morning, I usually get there, and I'm usually the only one in there. Parking lot looked like Christmas Eve at a toy store. It was the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. People, just buying stuff. A lot of Chinese people wearing masks, and what they were buying, was paper towels, anything that said germ killer on it. They were buying, and of course the toilet paper was completely sold out,
Well, I didn't do anything. My house is usually stocked pretty much with all that stuff. I mean, other than, I don't have 2 weeks' worth of food, but I do have food, but didn't need to go crazy doing it. And so I went out today just for the hell of it to check it out. And no toilet paper, no cleaner, meat cabinets, refrigerators are empty. What is left you wouldn't want to eat, you know, on a normal day. And
it's amazing.
Yeah, it's just crazy. You know, like, people, relax. It's okay. You know, yeah, we got to stay away from large crowds. I agree with it. Do you agree with it? I mean, if it spreads that quickly, then
We're living in the first season of The Walking Dead, I believe. You know, when everything happens and everything goes to hell. You know, so the only thing, we don't know if the people who die from the virus come back or not. So we don't know that yet. But
sounds like a new Bloodshot movie on the way.
But it's the same thing that, you know, I could see us, you know, going through people's houses, you know, in 6 months from now, looking for any type of stored cans that they may have left before they passed. It's a doomsday scenario that people are going through right now. But the toilet paper, I don't understand that.
You run out, you use cloth and you wash it like we did with diapers back in the day, or throw it out if you don't want to wash it. You know what I mean?
But,
and take an old T-shirt, cut it up, something, I don't know.
Well, it's scaring the crap out of everybody, so I guess they need the toilet paper.
Yeah.
you know, but they, you know, they're even buying facial tissues in lieu of the toilet paper. Anything that they can get their hands on, it's incredible.
And, you know, really, people, be fair. Everybody needs something, so there's no reason to hoard so much of it either. I mean, let everybody get a shot, you know? But
if someone told me that those masks that they were selling on Amazon now, I think you get a pack of five, if you're lucky, for $1,000.
Wow.
You know? So.
I had heard, don't buy them from China because they're rewashing them and reselling them. But I heard
They're probably loaded with the virus. You know, it's
who knows?
So who knows what's going to happen? But
I wanted to ask you also. Oh, geez, John, I'm sorry, lost my train of thought about Pennsylvania. I mean, are you in the boonies or what?
We're pretty much in. Yeah, we're very rural out here. But you know, we're close, to New Jersey, and close to an hour to Philly, hour to New York City.
Mm.
So, but we're out in the, you know, we have like 5+ acres that we're on, so it's pretty quiet.
Wow.
And we have well water, so we don't have to go buying tons of water unless the electricity goes out.
Nobody needs to buy water. The faucets aren't going to be affected. You have plenty of water. Relax, people.
Well, I'm sure they're thinking that the virus is in the water. You know, if someone sneezed on the reservoir or something, you know.
Money.
People are crazy.
I know, but if anybody's interested, I did find 7-Eleven. Your little stores, like little lottery stores, cigarette stores, stuff like that, they have this stuff, people. And you don't have to go crazy. It's sitting right on the shelves.
Yeah, Lowe's and Home Depot still have paper towels. But the funny thing was in the BJ's, we stopped there too, what was normally a pack of paper towels for $15.99 are now $31. If you're lucky, you can get one.
Wow.
It's like, someone's making money on this.
Yeah, well, I always go on Facebook Marketplace for, like, instruments and stuff like that because they have some really great deals. And someone was selling cans of Lysol spray, just the aerosol spray, not cleaner, you know, $25 per can. I said, you should be ashamed of yourself. Disgusting. They took it right down. And somebody gave a phone number out. I don't have it. I should have wrote it down. They gave a phone number out of where you could call for price gouging, and there is a $10,000 fine and up to jail for doing it. You can do so phone as well. But I'm sorry, folks. We're waiting for Mike Skill from the Romantics to give us a call. And in the meantime, if you want to call and talk about something, the virus, I don't know. I don't even know if I have work tomorrow, John, you know?
Well, I would think that it would be difficult for you to get there. Do you drive there or take the train?
I have to drive. It's not a problem with that. It's just a matter of waiting for one of us to get sick. You know, none of us, we're all sitting in a big room and somebody could get sick and you never know what could happen. But they have a backup plan where half of us are going to go somewhere else, half of us go somewhere else. And, you know, this way, if one goes down, we all don't go down together, whatever type of thing, you know?
Yeah.
So, but, you know, it is what it is, people. No reason to get crazy. Yeah, it's gonna be crazy change of life-wise. And we got, you know, it's going to be temporary. And it's fine. Relax. It'll be fine. And you could still go out. It's not like you can't go out. You could still go out.
They're closing down the bars here and the liquor stores, I think, on Tuesday in Pennsylvania. Some parts, anyway, they're supposed to close them down. So that'll cut into that. You know, and if there's any way that to surely wreck an economy is just to keep shutting down everybody's business and, you know, keeping people out of work. So it's very, very sad.
That's the bad thing. You know, people are going to suffer. I mean, all of us, including myself. And I know that's how I wanted to ask you with this going on. Has it affected the move at all?
So far, no. You know,
good.
Unless the movers are supposed to show up tomorrow morning, so we'll just they're wearing masks and coughing, you know, that may affect things. But you know, as long as they come and get everything you know, moved in here, we're fine.
Right.
So,
well, let's hope everything goes well for that. But yeah, I don't know what I'm walking into tomorrow when I go to school.
School.
I know. I just school. I hate school. Please don't send me back. I hate it.
Yeah, last time you were telling everybody to enjoy their Thanksgiving. Now you're going back to school.
Hey,
starting to worry.
I never said I was a genius, John. You know, my mind. I don't know. I got so much shit going on in my head. I can't keep track of anything anymore. You know, so I just sent a message over to Mike, hoping he calls in. And if not, we do have our guest coming up at 7:25. So don't worry. We're here. If you guys want to give a call, give us a call. 646-478-0999. Let us know if you're worried about what's going on or if you want to know something about Mike's skill, of course, and Karen Perlmutter and her new movie Determined. John, it sounds really good. I don't know if you're into the Holocaust movies. I mean, they're so riveting and heart-wrenching to watch. So,
is it a documentary or a movie?
I'm not sure. I believe it's a movie and it's narrated. So I had the trailer, but unfortunately I couldn't open it up on my computer. I loaded Microsoft Works on the computer, and it's asking for my product, ID, product ID. I don't know where that is. It's just the laptop is on. How do I know where the hell that is? Anyway, so back to the movie. I wasn't able to get to the trailer to see it, but we will put it up on our site, John, if that's okay, if you could do that for us. I can email it to you.
Yeah, we should be up and running, I think, by Wednesday or Thursday or next week. Everything, I just have a wire strung in the basement now in the studio, just you know, temporarily just to get up and running. But tonight, you don't realize how difficult it is to run telephone and internet and Ethernet, all those wires, you know, and then have them all work. So that's
you
the
know
problem.
You know what you're doing. Thank God you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
You know?
Been doing it forever.
Then you'd be up Schitt's Creek, you know, if you don't know what you're doing.
Then I need more. Then I wouldn't be able to buy toilet paper. Then we start the whole cycle again.
Oh, Jesus. What I'm bummed. Yeah, so the movie is actually about Karen. It's about her father. It's an autobiography. He was a Holocaust survivor. And they're both amazing people. I mean, geniuses, scientists. She's had patents. And so it was a number one bestseller on New York Times, the book. And now they're doing the film, Determined. And based on that, I mean, you guess what it is. He's determined to survive, obviously. He was a young boy when the Nazis came in and changed his life forever. And just an amazing story of living and surviving. And I it's kind of a weird feeling it must have been for, as the daughter, Kieran, you know, reliving these stories, because I'm sure they're kind of graphic. So, you know, listening to these stories of what your father went through as a young boy, it's got to break your heart. So, very interested in talking with her. And also, Steve Chesney is the composer of the movie. And I can't wait to talk to him, too. So, but we will get this show on the road. I don't think Mike is going to show up. I've been, like I said, waiting to speak to him for 3 days, and he has not reached out. So he did tell me he would be joining us tonight, but I don't know where Mr. Skill is.
What time zone is he in?
I don't know, John. He wouldn't give information. Don't know.
Okay, because some people get confused with the time zones. You know, they think they're calling in, you know, and they're on California time, and they're 3 hours difference.
He may
be calling in another show later on tonight.
Yeah, I know, right? Well, and he won't get through either, unfortunately. So, anyway, I'm hitting up the one more time. So, but I feel bad for all our friends that we've had on that have had to cancel their tours, especially the cruise ships, all those. I mean, these guys were so, especially the Outsiders, they were so excited to do the Flower Power cruise, you know. They've never done it before.
Yeah.
I feel bad for them, so, you know. But
it is what it is,
unfortunately. It's going to affect all of us, me too, and you too, John, you know. I mean, it's crazy. Have you taken any precautions with your business in regard to what's going on?
No,
like
not really. Most people don't know it, but I have a cleaning business that I've been doing for a long, 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 long time. And we do houses, and we may have to stop because we don't have the paper towels or supplies anymore to clean anymore. So unless people supply us with their stuff, you know, we can't do our work, and, you know, we can't do that. And then on the weekends, I do wedding photography.
Yeah.
And videography, and I did one yesterday, and it didn't seem to affect anybody there. They were all having a good time, but it was a very big event with over 250 people, and that's not counting all the staff and the waiters and waitresses and, you know, everybody working at the place. You'd think that they'd be a little concerned about that, but it was just business as usual. But I think it's what's going to happen. They're going to people are going to lose their deposits and everything, and the events are going to be canceled because no one's going to want to show up.
Right, I know.
Especially the vendors working the events. They don't want to expose themselves.
No, definitely not. I mean, you don't, you know, go in there. You don't want to do that either. And Alice, is it affecting her job either? Or?
Well, she works from home, so it doesn't really affect her.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah. But she used to travel, you know, so that her company put a halt on all travel, even in the United States, so there's no travel whatsoever right now.
Right, yeah.
And which makes sense.
You're
breathing the same air over and over again on an airplane, so.
Yeah, I know. And we're worried about Darlene, whether she's going to be able to go back to work or not, because I don't know if they're going to let her go back to work.
Yeah, her immune system may still be weak, so that might not be a good idea.
Right. And I'm compromised myself with my issues, and it's like, that's why last night we went to a gathering. It wasn't at a restaurant or anything. It was at someone's house. And we were going to celebrate the last chemo, blah, blah, blah. And we didn't know how to greet each other. It was so funny because we usually get a hug, a kiss, and so we finally all just patted ourselves on the heart. And then when we were leaving, we were trying to come up with these different signals to say hello to people and goodbye. I can't share them all, but it was funny. Oh my God, we had a nice time, but. And then we got nervous when one of the girls texted this word. Does anybody else have diarrhea? We're like, oh, shit.
And if so, where do you keep the toilet paper?
Yeah. Oh, that's what's funny. In the bathroom. The bathroom I used last night, the toilet paper wasn't on the holder. It was on the side of the sink. So I was washing my hands, and I, like, kind of knocked it in a little bit. And you had to see me, like, fighting to save this toilet paper so it didn't fall into the sink. I was like, oh, God, they'll kill me if I ruin a roll of toilet paper on them, you know?
Well, it's basically a trial run. Or if Bernie Sanders wins the presidency, we'll all be hoarding toilet paper and standing on line to buy a roll.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. But I got to say, I went to the store today. It wasn't bad. I was in and out, in and out. I went to a Stop and Shop in Clifton, and I was in and out. I mean, a lot of the stuff is gone off the shelves, but there's things to buy. It's not like there isn't things to buy. I bought a couple of frozen meals and the rice I could get, what else, pork, I wanted pork chops and the chopped meat. Of course, there was no chopped meat. That's probably the first thing to go. Chicken, no chicken. So I wound up getting some kind of boneless pork, so that works out. And, of course, the munchie aisles are full. The chips, no one's touching chips. No one's touching chips. Don't you want chips?
They want to eat healthy, right?
They want to eat toilet paper. I think, you know, oh my God, unbelievable. So I'm sorry, folks, that I guess we are not having our first guest, Mike Skill from the Romantics. I'm sorry if you're disappointed. I am. Looking forward to talking to him. And excuse me, we just have to wait for Kieran and Steve to give us a call. Unfortunately, they don't know that Mike is not here, so if they did, I'm sure they would have called already. So we're just waiting on them. So, but how's your puppy accepting the move?
Well, he's he went up to the new house today and he christened it with a nice load. So, and then we brought the little cat up there, the little kitten. He went up there, and then we put a little litter box in there for him, a new one. And yeah, he wouldn't come out of his little carry crate for a couple of minutes, and then eventually he came out and he was walking around the place, and then he did find his new litter box and used it. And so they both christened the house with the little presents that they gave us. So it's going to be a trick tomorrow night.
It's official. They christened it. It's official.
So tomorrow night will be the real test when they're here, you know, in the new place, and we'll see what's going to happen with them. They're probably going to be scared for a while, you know, but then
they got to get used to it.
They should be okay. Once the you know, the same furniture is going to be there, so they'll be able to smell all the scents on there and everything.
Right.
You know, and
they'll have a lot more room to run around too. That's for sure.
Lot more stuff to mess up too.
Yeah. So now, what are you going to do with the barn? Is that going to become a studio?
Well, the barn's going to be like a studio or a guest cottage, which is nice because that's where I could do a lot of shooting down in the garage, because it has, you know, set up for lights and everything, and that's why it's nice and quiet there, and we could make it into different sets without disrupting too much of my other house. That'll work out good.
Yeah,
so I'm looking forward to getting the movie started. It's just that it's it's hard to do everything right now because everything's packed up. It's kind of like Christmas. You open up a box, and, oh wow, look what I got in this box. Because I haven't seen this stuff for over 2 years.
Hold on,
Joanne. I'm gonna someone's on the line. I'm just gonna see who they are, so you can go ahead and talk to everyone.
Oh, sure. Well, folks, I apologize that Mike Skill is not on the air tonight with us, but thank you to the High Bar and Bistro in Garfield, New Jersey. As long as they're open, please, please go and patronize the High Bar and Bistro and every other restaurant or local business you can. Just be safe about it. Until they don't close these places, please try to patronize everybody, because they are going to go through a tough time. As long as the bars, restaurants are open, go. Just be safe about it. Make sure you wash your hands. Don't touch your eyes, your nose, your mouth, and try to do that 6 feet thing. You know, I had heard in New York they were making the restaurants, they were a lot smaller. They weren't going to fit as many customers because they were going to move the tables further away from each other. I heard that also they finally closed the schools in New York, which is totally unheard of. It's only happened once that I can recall in my lifetime, and they were not happy about it. And so I know they did it now, and hopefully these other small towns will follow suit now that New York did it, because there are some small towns that did close their schools and some that didn't. And, you know, even if it's not in the schools, you don't want your kid catching it. So it's great to keep them home.
Joanne?
Yeah, hon. Yeah, John.
We have Karen's on the phone. So if you...
Yes,
hi, Karen.
Hi, Joanne.
Hi, Karen.
Hi.
How are you? Is it Karen
good.
Or Karen?
A Karen, like a normal, like a K-A-R-E-N, except
now,
Karen, right?
Now,
just spelled differently.
Me. Don't hate me. I've been flubbing your last name. I guess I'm trying to say it too fast.
That's okay.
Mortal.
It's like, you know, pearl, like the jewelry, like the gem of pearl, and then mother, like you're saying something quietly, right? So
yeah,
pearl,
no, I know.
Mother.
But when I was talking to you, it was coming up.
Oh, okay. No, that's okay. That's fine.
Thank you so much for joining us tonight, Karen. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you for, having me.
Oh, please, please. It's more than a pleasure to us, please. And when I heard about the movie, I was fascinated by it because, I mean, these stories are just so heart-wrenching and but yet so invigorating and at the end because it's... 90% of the time they come out to be a good story, and yours is a good story. I just
right.
for folks that don't know, we discussed it earlier. The movie's called Determined, and it's about Karen's father, Abraham Perlmutter. And I want to know, how hard was that for you to write with him, knowing that he went through such a hard time as a child? Did it kill you? I mean, it would kill me. I know that.
Yeah. Well, it's an inspirational. It's a documentary. It's an inspirational feature-length documentary.
Yeah.
And, you know, where he recounts how we outwitted the Nazis during the Holocaust and overcame every obstacle standing in his way. But it also, it's a story not only of his remarkable survival, but about the fact that many people helped him. So it's about the goodness of humanity and it stresses about the importance of helping others in need. And so, and I've been involved with my father's story for a number of years. A number of years ago, he started writing his story, and I decided that it needed to be spread to a larger population. So I took it over, and I published his autobiography. It has the same name, Determined, the Story of Holocaust Survivor Abraham Perlmutter.
Nice.
And I published it in English and also in Dutch, because during
war,
during the Holocaust, he was in the Netherlands. He's from Austria, but he was sent by his parents after the Nazis invaded Austria. His parents sent him to the Netherlands, hoping he'd be safe there. But then the Germans invaded, and he was there during the war, and he was caught numerous times, but every time he was able to escape, and he was in hiding a number of places. And and one of the families that hid him for over a year, we're still very close to that family. And so I worked together with them for the Dutch version. And then my father and I have been giving talks to thousands of people over the last several years, to over 100 schools and museums and both together. And also I started giving talks separately from him when I had to go out of state or to the Netherlands to give the talk. And I started doing it as a combination of me speaking and video clips of him speaking. And so then I thought, well, a natural extension would be to just remove me from the equation and just extend it. So it was just him telling his story with a lot of video and photo archival footage. And also it would give us an opportunity to include interviews with some of the people who helped him to survive. So the documentary was really an extension of what I was already doing with his story in all sorts of different formats.
Right. Now, let me ask you now, is this your first movie you've done or no?
Yes.
It is. Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, it's my first movie because, as I said, it was really just a natural extension of what I was doing with my father's story. I'm a scientist like my father.
I know. Your backgrounds are amazing. Your backgrounds are amazing. I can't believe it.
Thank you.
What do you have 39 patents on? Can you name one that people would know?
Yes, absolutely. Yes, and it would be, I think it's in the entertainment field. It was for the automatic restoration of three-strip Technicolor films. So it was used by Warner Brothers to restore.
I'll tell you.
Okay. So it was used to restore Wizard of Oz, Gone with the Wind, Singing in the Rain, Adventures of Robin Hood, all of these movies, bunch of Looney Tunes, other Judy Garland movies. Because at the time, I was a chief scientist and I was working at AOL, and then AOL had acquired Time Warner, and so that's how I came to Warner Brothers, and they were interested in having their films restored, especially Gone with the Wind, and so that's how it came about. And so I will have a PhD in electrical engineering with the focus on image processing, so it was in line with the kind of work that I was doing, and so that's how so a number of the patents are related to that work.
Yeah, congratulations. That's fabulous.
Hey, Joanne, have Steve Chesney on the line, too, from the movie.
Great. Hey, Steve. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Good. Steve is the composer of the film. How did you two hook up? Because Steve's background is from what I've seen, is somewhat serious, but not as serious as a Holocaust.
I'd be happy, Joanne, I'd be happy to answer that, and then Steve can chime in afterwards. So I knew that the music would be a really important component of the documentary in terms of enhancing my father's story and the emotional impact. And so I was seeking advice about music for the film. And Steve's wife had given piano lessons to my nephew. So that's how I learned about Steve. And then, you know, that he was this award-winning, you know, very experienced composer. So I reached out to him for advice. And after our first conversation, he offered to compose the music. And, of course, I was very pleased about that. Yeah, and it was a wonderful collaboration. So, Steve, do you want to add to that?
I wanted to chime in to something else that you were talking about, which is that this being Karen's first film, one of the really interesting differences between, commercial filmmaking and independent film and art house kind of driven fare is that in this case, this was someone who was strongly motivated by the subject herself. You know, Karen is an expert on this. This is her family. It's her family story. She's been speaking on it publicly. But she also is very, very technically proficient in the film sciences. And I think for her, it's sort of the opposite of commercial filmmaking, where they have sort of a machine that cranks out one product after another, and they actually seek subject matter. In this case, you have someone who's so strongly motivated that it led to her making this film to tell the story that she's been telling, but in a new venue. And I think she seemed to learn it well. She's very facile with the technology, and she figured out what she had to figure out, and she researched what she had to research. And it turns out to be a very, very compelling and fascinating piece that she's created.
Yeah. Well, I apologize. I was saying earlier I was unable to view the trailer, but I'm going to ask you, Steve, is the music more dark in comparison? I mean, you've done a lot of pop stuff for a lot of sitcoms, so how is the transition for you? I mean, you've probably done something similar, though, right?
Yeah, I mean, the sitcoms, that was a phase that I happened to work in very mainstream Hollywood for a few decades of, sitcoms and primetime network shows. But in between those TV seasons, I was composing a series of symphonies that were sort of in the style of Bruckner and Sibelius, mm-hmm. and that's really what I love, is symphonic mm-hmm. music. And then when I got out of that area of Hollywood and started working in independent films, I was able to do more of my the things that are closer to my heart, which is that every project would call for something radically different.
Right.
So the things that you might have seen, like Step by Step or Hanging with Mr. Cooper and all that,
right.
that was, you know, what was appropriate for that particular, you know, thing. But no, the music for Determined I think the key motivation or the key the thing that we were aiming for was to bring an emotional connection to the viewer.
Yes.
Because there's a lot of information in it, and it's a really interesting story, but I mean, it's complex, and he goes from place to place, and you know, one thing happens after another. And so our goal was to just sort of bring it to life and make it three-dimensional so that the viewer is connected to the emotional content of the film.
Yeah, I'm guessing because I didn't see the trailer, that the music is sort of very intense yet stringy and very deep.
Yeah, I mean that's the hope, and there's some sort of storytelling parts of it, but there's a key thing in this film, and this is, and Karen, tell me if you agree, but I feel like there's a kind of a pearl of wisdom that's delivered with this film, that which is, you know, that after all he's been through, Avram, and that having his life saved over and over by people who just sort of stepped in the line of fire, that his big teaching at the end is how we as humans need to be kind and compassionate and
yeah.
to treat others with respect. And there's a deep kind of profound, it almost sounds so simple, of course we should, but yet we don't. And so
right.
so there's something very profound about what he's trying to say with his story. And I
right.
think, Karen, do you also feel like that was kind of the...
Right. I mean, absolutely. I mean, his life story has a number of important messages, just like you said, and it really stresses out how important it is for people to help others and for everyone
right.
to get along and live in peace. And it's about tolerance and compassion.
Yeah.
And so it's uplifting in the way, and it's really inspiring to people after they watch it, you know, to motivate them to make a positive difference in their lives and the lives of others. And we had like various themes throughout of music throughout the film. Like the one that the world premiere is at the Garden State Film Festival in a couple of weeks from today. And it already won the Best Orchestration
wow.
from a Documentary Award. And thank you. And so, and the triumphant theme is what won the award. And that's something that it comes throughout the movie, and it really encapsulates the concepts of overcoming obstacles, of succeeding, but also knowing that my father had experienced hardships and losses to get there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's contemplative as well, and it incorporates all those different aspects into the music, but it's
right.
ultimately uplifting and inspiring.
Right, of course, yeah, yeah.
And,
especially
you know,
toward the end.
And that's, yeah, and so that's exactly, and so it's played toward the end when he's talking about my and his family, and also our relationship with the buyers, who's the family who hid him for over a year, and who's like our family now, and so yeah, so that music, the triumphant theme as we call it, it's played there, and like for instance after my father's liberation, and then we have other themes that go out throughout. Determination theme, because as the title suggests, my father was very determined
right.
to survive, determined
right.
to succeed, and
mm-hmm.
so when he makes the significant decisions about his life, that music variation that music is played, and
yeah,
you know, he also
I can,
talks
I, I can picture it. I feel it. I know. I got it. I feel it for sure. You know. I could see it all going. Like I'm so mad at myself that I couldn't see the trailer because I know what you're saying.
Oh,
I can imagine
it. And it's
it.
Available. And just sorry to interrupt, Joanne, but it's available on the website determinedstory.com. So the trailer is there if anyone wants to see it.
Well, if it's okay with you, we'd like to put it up on our site for you, if that's okay.
Yes.
Oh,
yes,
cool.
That's fine.
Cool.
That's good.
Yeah, John,
and I don't know if you had an opportunity to listen to the WAV file that we sent you or the MP3 of
not
the,
with this
the
computer,
score that won.
Yeah, not with this
computer. Okay.
That's
okay.
Why I can't wait to my son. Believe it or not, I need my son to help me out. So.
Go ahead, Karen.
Oh, I just wanted to mention that on our Facebook page, Determined Book, we do have it links to the Garden State Film Festival, and there's a post that has the music where you can actually play and hear the music. So for people who want to hear the music, it's available there. So it's
cool.
And Steve,
one of the things Karen was starting to touch on about how he had escaped several times, and I think it's what's interesting about this story that there's been a million Holocaust films, but this is a very unique story. And what it is that Avram, when he was a child, and Karen, maybe you already spoke about this before I got on, but that he was a mischievous kid. He got in trouble a lot. He was, constantly being punished at the school and running away and all that. And it's, as it turns out, fascinating.
Was that before the Nazis or after?
Well,
right,
that's what he was when he was young. I mean, as it turns out, we know he was this brilliant guy, as it was revealed throughout his later life. But at that point, that's just who he was. He was very mischievous. And it turns out that was what caused him to survive. Because each time they captured him, he had the gall, the chutzpah, to try to escape every time they weren't looking. He didn't care if they shot at him, whereas all the other kids were following instructions.
Right.
And so he survived where others didn't. And it's actually a really fascinating, unique tale.
Mm. When, Karen, when he went over to Austria, not Austria, where'd he go, Netherlands? Where'd he go?
To the Netherlands. Mm-hmm.
When he went over to the Netherlands, who did he stay with then? Was it family at the time or just
so?
So
the reason he went to the Netherlands was because he had an aunt in the Netherlands, in the city of The Hague. And he went on what was called a kinder transport, where children went on trains because adults weren't allowed to go. So the adults had to send their kids to safety. And he went to the Netherlands, but initially the Dutch government didn't release him to his relatives. So for a year he was in refugee camps, going from one refugee camp to another. At 11 years old. At that point it was 11 years old.
Horrible,
and then
horrible.
He got horrible. Sick for a while, but then he was finally released to his relatives. But 6 months later, the Nazis invaded, and the Netherlands surrendered after 5 days, and then he was stuck in the Netherlands, and things became worse and worse, the conditions. And then after another 2 years, he wasn't allowed to stay with his relatives, and he had to move to Amsterdam with a family he didn't know, and a Jewish family. And then a few months later was the first time he was caught by the Nazis. They were looking specifically for him. And from then on, he was on the run, in hiding, caught, escaped.
Did he have siblings as well?
He had a sister, that went on the kinder transport with him. And initially they were in the same refugee camp. But then when he went to his relatives, she actually was in a pioneer camp, she was put, because my grandparents, actually were able to get themselves out of Vienna and go to what was then the British Mandate of Palestine. Now it's Israel, but at the time the area was controlled by the British, and my grandparents were able to get over there. But before they were able to get my father and aunt to join them, Germany had invaded, and then my aunt and father were stuck in the Netherlands. So she was at this pioneer camp training to go and join, her parents. But then speed up the story, I mean, she's eventually caught. She ended up in Auschwitz, but she survived. So,
oh,
and eventually, you know, she moved and was willing to very close to where we lived. And, you know, so that part was good. But, of course, many of our other relatives, you know, my father's cousins, aunts, uncles, grandparents, all of them were killed during the Holocaust.
So sorry. And now when your father, your mom, is she a survivor as well, or has he met her?
So, no, she's actually from Massachusetts. She's from Massachusetts.
Oh, okay.
So, as I say, she survived depression of the 30s.
Yeah, well, she survived something, that's for sure. And she also survived having you as a child, right?
No, I was a good kid.
It's hard. It's hard to have smart kids. But Joanne, you know, there's another aspect of the film that I think is a really key aspect to me. And I think, Karen, see what you think also, but it's that that Avram's survival was also a result of these Dutch people that kept in their protecting him. They kept endangering themselves and putting themselves in danger.
Right.
And in fact, some of them lost their lives by trying to help him escape. So he survived while others died trying to help him.
Right.
Yeah.
Like there was
a man.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead. I mean, that's one of the unique aspects of the documentary, too, is that we highlight the people who helped my father. There was a man, Jupp Westervel. He was head of an underground organization responsible for saving, you know, a couple hundred people. But unfortunately, he was caught and, you know, he was killed in a concentration camp. He was not Jewish, but felt it was the right thing to do to help someone. And also the village where my father lived with the buyers, the Dutch family, for over a year, the priest, he was very instrumental in enabling a number of families from that village to hide Jews. In fact, 42 of the 240 families in that village were hiding Jews because of this priest, and he unfortunately was killed as well. So, and what's unique also, I mean, so we have interviews in the film of some of the people who helped my father, and also some of the grandchildren and great-grandchildren of these people, because really it didn't just affect that generation. It's passed on from generation to generation, the good values, you know, that these people had in helping my father. It's really been passed along, you know, to their descendants, which is wonderful.
Right. I wish more people would act like that these days, but
and that's why we hope that people get inspired by this and that they show compassion and help others.
Right. I love that you used your father to be the narrator. It's just even more impactful. You know, such an impact having him being the narrator. So I can't wait to see this thing. I can't wait to see it.
Thank you.
So now, do you plan on doing any other movies? And if you do, is it going to be in that genre? Or what do you think?
So this is like, as I said, it really comes from how to best relay my father's story and the important messages that it has. So this was just another format in order to do that. So I'm not necessarily thinking of making other movies. It's more of how can I convey my father's story in different forms and its important messages. So that's really my focus and my concentration. And one of the things we plan to do is the educational distribution for the film. I have an accompanying study guide, so when the students watch the film, they can discuss, you know, the various topics of within the film about helping others, what it's like to be a refugee, you know, about anti-Semitism and all these different concepts that they can discuss.
Were there any stories that your father told you growing up that you did not include into the film, and why? Like, was it too much, or just couldn't do it, or everything pretty much out on the table?
Well, some of these stories that weren't included was really only a question of length. It's 87 minutes. And I would have loved to include more, but, you know, I felt that was a good length for a documentary. But you know, I tried to include as much as possible in order to give the full complexity of his story. But in his story, in the documentary, we don't I don't show like graphic Holocaust imagery or anything like that because I want it to be accessible to younger audiences. We give talks to anywhere from fourth grade and up, and I think that age could also watch the film. They'll understand, you know, the film conveys the tragedy of the Holocaust, but it also conveys, like I mentioned, the other positive messages, and so that was always present in my mind when making it was for students, you know, for the next generation.
Yeah. But it didn't. How did it affect you? Like reliving these stories with your father, and like, I mean, did you have to pause with him sometimes, and you know, like this, and stop? Because I mean, I'm sure these are great stories. They're not all good stories, you know. He's struggling, right? So he's having a hard time. He's a kid, you know.
Well, you know, growing up, the first stories we heard was when he would escape from after being captured. So that was kind of the viewpoint that we always had in terms of the stories. And he always had a positive outlook, and he always concentrated on the people who helped him, you know, rather than the people who were trying to kill him. And so that's kind of the perspective that I went in to it as well. You know, it was just very meaningful to work with my father on this and the book and with the buyers. You know, like I said, I mentioned the Dutch family were still they're like our family. The grandson actually lived with our family for 5 years before he went back to the Netherlands.
Nice.
Yeah, and the great grandchildren stayed with us for a number of months as well. He was just here until last month. For 3 months, he was here. So we're, like I said, we're like one family, which is really special.
Yeah, right. So, do you plan on doing more films?
I don't at this time. My focus is really about my father's story and conveying it in various forms, and so that's. Like I said, that's my focus right now.
Wow. Well, good. That's great. That's fantastic. How about you, Steve? What's in the horizons for you at now after doing the movie? What are you working on? Anything that we would know?
Yeah. Well, so I did about a year and a half ago. I did this piece that has become kind of a movement. I mean, I'm still involved in it. I recorded this. It's a world peace cantata called Sapient, and it's a very unique animal where I studied prayers and invocations for peace and the oneness of mankind from 10 different cultures. And I studied with all these experts and translators and historians, and then I composed a piece for each of the 10. But what's interesting about it is that when you listen to each song, you're not aware of it, but each song is actually a piece of a puzzle. Mm. And that at the end of the big finale of the whole thing, all 10 of them are overlaid upon each other in kind of a mashup of multi-track counterpoint. And so that's something it took me years to create, of preparation and research and recording and producing. And that was completed about a year and a half ago. And it's still ongoing. Like it won the Global Music Award, the John Lennon Award, the Radio Music Awards, the International Songwriting Award, on and on and on. And there's a video for it that's on Facebook that's been seen by, I think, 300,000 people now and been shared thousands and thousands of times. And this is something that's an ongoing project that just, to bring it out into the world. So I'm kind of still in that, as you could say.
Cool. Well, before we let everybody know where they can see it and more about you guys, let me just ask you a stupid question. Would you guys work together again?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
I knew that.
Yeah, it was great.
Even if you wouldn't, you weren't going to say it on the radio, were you?
No, but it was a really... really good, you know, working collaboration. It was really, I think it was, you know, you couldn't have had it be better.
One more question for the both of you. How long did it take to do the movie? How long did it take to compose the film? Who's first?
Well,
You
well,
go,
for
Karen.
The okay, so for the film, it took a number of years. One of the reasons was in terms of collecting the archival materials, the photos, the videos. So as time went on, more and more becomes available online, different archives. So it took a few years for that. And for the music, I can answer that, but Steve can too. I think it took about 5 months. Would you say that, Steve, from start
to
finish?
Yeah, I think because it's an unusual film, and it seemed like we took a long time at the beginning to find the voice of the film, and
mm-hmm.
once we did,
mm-hmm.
I felt like
mm-hmm.
it moved very quickly.
Right.
But it is, you know, I think, and the film was still a little bit in progress when we were working. So I would say total of about 5 months, and there were time because we're both Karen and I both busy with other things too. But
right.
I think
not
I think
continuous.
It, that's
right.
about right. Yeah.
Now when
When you
scored it, did you do it without seeing it, or did you do it while watching it? I mean.
Oh no! It's
very
deeply involved in the film itself. Yeah. I mean, it's very. Very much motivated by what's in front of me on the film and from Karen's direction in terms of what each scene deeply means.
Did you start it just by hearing the stories, or did you get more involved once you could actually see it and put the music to it? But when did it really all come together, when you actually watched
it?
I
got started with a rough cut, and I just started making sketches, and some of them were closer than others to what Karen had envisioned. And then we eventually, you know, caught a hold of the ones that were closest and ran with that. But it's very much, it was very malleable the whole time, and working with sketches and a different account.
Yeah.
Sometimes
you try
a few different ways of doing the same thing.
Right, exactly. Yeah. It was a very back and forth kind of thing, you know, between us. It was a very collaborative effort in getting it to where we wanted it to be, you know.
Well, assuming everything goes back to normal in a couple of weeks, where can folks see the movie or the premiere? Tell us about that.
Well, the world premiere is going to be at the Garden State Film Festival.
Where is
next
that?
In 2 weeks. The interesting thing is it's going to be virtual. So it was going to be in Asbury Park, New Jersey, and they moved of the coronavirus, they moved it all online. So at the same time, so people who buy tickets, they can see it on March 29th, Sunday, March 29th at 3 p.m. They'll be able to stream it and watch it on their computers or their mobile devices or their tablets. So everything will be online. And
how can we watch it? How can we get it? How can we do it? How can people,
after that?
How can we tune in?
If you go to the my website, you'll have a link to a brown paper tickets. Link where you can get tickets, or you can go to the Facebook page as well, Determined Book, and that has the event on it. You can go and buy tickets there. And as I mentioned, the website is determinedstory.com. Or you can go to the Garden State Film Festival website or Facebook page. All of those will give you to the brown paper tickets link where you can buy tickets and watch it. And then it'll be showing in at the World Fest Houston Film Festival. It'll be showing in the Netherlands. But, of course, that is, we'll find out based on travel restrictions and other things when exactly it'll be shown. But for sure, in 2 weeks, it'll be shown online, which is for ticket holders, which is a great thing that the Garden State Film Festival did.
Well, folks, check it out. We're going to put the trailer up on our site. It's called Determined, the story of Avraham Perlmutter.
That's right.
And I said it right. written and directed by his daughter, Karen Perlmutter. Almost did it again. And composed by Steve Chesney. And it sounds fantastic. I can't wait to see it. And we will put that trailer up on our site as soon as possible. We're down till Wednesday, I believe, but our site anyway. And we will get that information up as soon as possible. But it was a pleasure getting to know both of you. Thank you so much for joining
us. Thank you, guys.
A lot of fun.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you both so much.
And all the best. All the best with the movie. And God bless your dad. And
thank you.
Just stay safe and be healthy, everybody.
Yes, same to all of you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Same to you.
Thanks so much, guys. Have a good night. Good luck. Take care.
You too.
Okay,
bye.
Thank you. Okay.
Good night, everybody.
Thank you.
Oh, okay. Sounds like a great story, doesn't it, John?
It does. I can't wait to see it.
Yeah.
All right, Joanne, we are finished for the night.
Yes. Let me just say thank you to our sponsors, and we're good to go. The Hive Bar and Bistro in Garfield, New Jersey, Precious Memory Video in Kittnersville, Pennsylvania, and KWB Wines in South Africa. Thank you so much for joining us. Stay safe and healthy, guys. Take care. We'll see you Wednesday. Bye-bye.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.